Okay, enough. Welcome back.
I got told. We are back, modest and average, but we've morphed into a new form.
We kind of don't know what we are anymore.
Don't know who we are.
I know.
So lost. We obviously started this as a hilarious recap of Bold and the Beautiful, but then watching it became a really big chore.
Yeah, we kind of wanted to end it ourselves.
So we've just sort of decided to use this as a platform to talk about the stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah, we briefly had a stint of Modest and Average reviews where we did Three Men and a Baby. Was that the movie?
Yeah, and then we also did a bit of a review of Disenchantment. Not Disenchanted.
If you ever would have listened to the actual episode that we recorded, you would get why that was a joke.
Yes.
But that episode went nowhere because, could you explain what happened?
My laptop melted.
Mm-hmm. The equivalent of the dog ate my homework bit.
Exactly. And it just wasn't meant to be. So we've decided to come back and just talk about fun stuff that we're interested in. But actually, Cleon, I believe you have watched a little bit of Bold and the Beautiful.
I have.
During our hiatus.
Yes, like the little meth addict I am. Wait, no, I'm not a meth addict. Like an addict, I have been drip feeding bits of Bold and the Beautiful so that I can finally move on with my life. Because when you do watch about 5 hours of it per week, just going full cold turkey can be a bit difficult.
Yeah.
You know? And the story has gotten really dark. By the way, Wayne Brady is in it.
Who's Wayne Brady?
Whose line is it anyways?
Oh.
Anyways, he's a genuine comedic actor, and so it was a bit strange seeing him on Bold and the Beautiful. He's probably sold out by now anyways. So he plays like a really dodgy doctor, and he is the father of one of the new models who speaks with an American accent, but she's secretly British, which is a thing that they're doing now.
I vaguely remember that storyline starting when I was still watching it. So that's been going on for a really long time. So she's still keeping up her fake identity.
Kind of. With some people, she's kind of using her British voice, but with others, she's still American. Anyways, she's dating
It's very
Maya's
parent
cousin.
Trap.
It is very parent trap. And and so Wayne Brady has come in as her dad, and he owes money to the mob, and so he's trying to con Steffi's mum by kind of like hooking up with her and everything to try and get the money to pay back the mobsters.
Damn.
And then also now, which is a really, really sort of dark storyline, so Hope was pregnant with Liam's baby.
Yes. So Liam and Steffi had just had a baby, then Liam decided to also impregnate Hope. Hedge his bets, like, by creating life.
Yeah, as soon as he went into the phase where I was like, yes, I must impregnate someone now, he just couldn't transition into what happened after. He kind of just got stuck on impregnate mode, so he just kind of sticked his dick into whatever seemed fertile.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So he's technically with Hope, but also still looking after Steffi and their child together. And they decide to do this thing called a baby moon, where they go for a holiday to this island, and then Hope starts to get the baby. But then she gets trapped in a hospital.
What island are they on? Are they in the US?
Yeah, I think so, like somewhere kind of south, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know, I didn't pay enough attention. And then she went into labor, and then the power went out, and Wayne Brady was the only doctor that could deliver her. And I think Hope like fell asleep during labor or passed out, and the baby died.
Damn.
And they had this whole episode where like she spends the whole episode talking about their future together, what their baby is going to be, how amazing their baby is. And Liam's like, yeah, just going on with the delusion. But the whole time Liam knows that the baby is dead. It is so fucked up.
So they've got mob and a storyline involving a stillborn child.
Yes.
So are they just trying to become like the Sopranos?
It is feeling very Sopranos at this moment.
Damn. Actually, I have a bit of like James Gandolfini gossip,
mm-hmm.
little tidbit for you.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that may not know, James Gandolfini played Tony Soprano in The Sopranos, and he died a few years ago.
He did.
Very sadly. Apparently, while he was playing Tony Soprano, there were lots of scenes where he needed to show how uncomfortable or angry he was. And in real life, the actor put pebbles in his shoes so that he was physically so uncomfortable so that it showed more on his face.
Oh, he must have been such a delightful dude if he needed that to look uncomfortable.
Apparently he was super delightful. Anyway.
What would he be called if he became a magician?
I feel like you're setting yourself up for a joke.
Yes, I am. He would be James Gandalfini. Because Gandalf.
Oh, God.
Lord of the Rings. James Gandalfini.
It's so bad. I'm not editing this out.
I don't want it to be edited out.
Yes.
What are we doing?
We've diverged quite a lot. So the idea of our podcast today arose on New Year's Eve.
Yes.
And it was when we were sitting around on the deck in my front yard and a couple, we just had a couple of people over. I have a little sister who's 18 and she's such a millennial. She's such a cool dude. And she started to like throw out her millennial slang and us like elderly people
geriatrics
just sort of stopped in our tracks and would stare at her because we just did not know what the fuck she was talking about.
Yeah.
And she just sort of repeat the same word as if that should explain. And so we thought it would be fun to do a podcast exploring all the slang that we no longer understand. And for a little bit of background, Cleon and I are massive language nerds.
Yeah, we are.
So for us to not understand stuff that's in current circulation is a bit jarring.
And I think we also probably have ego issues where we constantly want to be relevant. So
exactly. You know. But you know, when you were a teenager, I don't know if it's the same for you, but for me, there was definitely like cool person slang that I just like declined to use because I didn't want to sell out.
Nerd! Yeah, I don't know. Is this a surprise to you? I wasn't cool when I was young. You know that.
Yeah, but neither was I, like, obviously. But I had this thing in my head where I was choosing not to be cool. It was on my terms. It wasn't.
I think, like, I knew some of the terms, but I definitely wasn't, like, all up with the lingo. I used to try and say my own stuff, really. Plus, back in those days, I mainly talked in Simpsons quotes and anime references. Wait, I still talk in Simpsons quotes and anime references.
I mostly talked in Simpsons quotes as well. No different.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of... But that was a lot more current back then anyway. But anyway, so what we decided to do was just to see how out of touch we are. So we've got a couple of millennial terms that we've got written down and just like... want to establish what our interpretation of it is. It's a bit hard out of context. What do you got on your list, friend?
So my first one is turnt. Do you know what that means?
I think it's got something to do with it, like it gets used at parties.
Yeah, we'll come to this later, but is it like lit, like getting drunk or like...
I think it's like describing the party like going off or getting really cool. So maybe it's like lit.
Yeah, or could it mean like you're getting turned into a zombie? That's fucked up.
Turnt.
Turnt, man.
I'm also not entirely clear on what lit means because I thought it meant like getting drunk, but apparently it doesn't.
So previously, listeners, I had many notes for this podcast. I did my research, but my charger decided to die and so my laptop is dead. So I researched the meaning for lit and apparently there's a bit of a history. So it was a word used even like over 100 years ago where it meant someone who was drunk or is doing a lot of drugs. But then later on around, I think it was World War II or one of the world wars, just one of them.
Whatever.
People said the term to mean that you have a venereal disease.
Damn.
Yeah, like you're lit up, meaning you're lit up with VD.
Oh, man. All your bits are lit up. Oh, gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so it sort of went out of vogue.
Yeah, and then now it's come back in to mean like hype, basically, okay. Or like something that's going to be great.
I think turnt is in the same vein.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a definition?
Yes, so I'll look it up here. So turnt is, oh, it's just hype for a party.
Ah, yeah. We're so cool.
Well, I think our description was better. All right, what's your first one?
Well, I want to talk about yeet.
Yeet.
Because that was what my sister said. And we were like, what is that?
Yeah, she just cluster reducing on yeast.
Somebody trying to make some bread?
For reference, sorry, the reason why me and Naomi know each other is we did university together.
We did one university.
And we were watching a, is it, what's the video called?
I don't know. It's like a scope to look at what vocal folds look like when they're making sound, except for this particular person. It was like to show what happens if you have a yeast infection in your throat.
So we saw these vibrating vocal folds with like this yellow, like festery candida stuff. Yes, it was a candida infection going everywhere. And the teacher was like, oh, so this is what happens when there's a yeast infection. And whilst everyone was reeling from how disgusting that already was, old mate Naomi here was like, hey, is someone trying to make some bread?
I had no memory of this. And I think I just like crushed it into the shame corner of my brain.
I proceeded to laugh for the next 20 minutes. And even though we wouldn't become that good friends for a while after that, that was like your defining moment in those 2 years.
I'm glad that my dumb, gross humor helped. Anyway, so yeet is not short for yeast. But apparently, like, I just thought it was like a way of saying, yeah, enthusiastically, like, yeet.
Yeah, but it actually has a bit of a history to itself as well. It came out.
Did it come out of a meme?
It came out from like a dance or something in 2014. It was like this dance where you kind of stretch out your arms, kind of like crucifixion of Jesus style.
Nice.
You know Jesus, your people killed him.
Yes.
He had magical powers, but you know, just decided, hey, let's just nail this dude to the cross. He's turning too much water into wine. He's going to destroy the economy. Oh, hey.
He's something about loaves and gefilte fishes.
Gefilte fish. What the fuck is gefilte fish?
Gefilte fish is literally just like Yiddish for something that I don't remember the translation for, but it's just
you're useless.
It's just like a kind of fish, and it's kind of gross. Like, it's peasant food, and people only eat it at Passover because it's like a traditional food. But gefilte means like, I want to say just like filtered, but I feel like that's not right.
Mm.
It's like, or filleted. I don't know. Yeah. Well, look it up. Yeah. It's a thing.
It's just a term that I know from Jewish comedy, basically.
Yeah. American comedy. It's just like, I just remember it as like being presented to me as a child at Passover and just really not wanting to eat it. And it was really just yuck.
It's like boiled
fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not nice. Anyway.
Anywho, so with yeet, so it's a term that comes from that dance, but then there was a YouTube video where someone says it to mean like, yeah, when they're like throwing something. I can't remember. So now it's kind of, become more like an exclamation sort of a term.
And it's got like some connotation with throwing.
Yeah, throwing. Stuff. It's an exclamation, basically.
How dumb is slang? Like, it is that doesn't really make dumb. Any sense.
It doesn't.
I think the defining thing about all this millennial slang, and I think that like my hope was that this podcast would demystify it, because despite reading definitions, hearing examples, hearing it in sentences, I'm still not clear on what any of it means or how to use it accurately.
Well, I think that's just what's happening with millennial culture. Meaning is lost, and everything is just like, everything is esoteric for the sake of being esoteric for young people's sake.
Or does it just mean that we're old because we don't get it?
Yeah, I mean, we are yelling from our lawn right now, effectively. This is how our generation yells at people from our lawns. We just make a podcast about it and throw it on the internet.
Get off my lawn. Yeet.
Yeet.
As I throw them into the road.
So, yeah.
I've got a lot of other words on my list that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Some that I'm like, well, actually, I'm pretty sure that Cleon came up with hundo P.
I don't say hundo P. I say wahundo. I say wahundo a lot.
It's so different.
It's so good. So basically wahundo or one hundo, however you want to emphasize that, means 100% like I agree. I totally relatable.
Yeah, I'm only bringing it up to shame you.
It's cool. I think it's very cool.
Although the list we found also has hangry on it, which is obviously being angry because you're hungry. And I've been saying that since I was like 10. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That I don't really feel like that's millennial in particular. What other ones do you have?
I have hunty.
Yeah. What's hunty? That's on my list too. Let's look this one up. Hunty. Actually, let's guess. What do you think it means?
I don't know. Like, you're in the club and you're ready to, like, you're hunting your sexual prey.
Yeah, you want
to,
like,
I'm feeling
claim.
Real hunty. I'm really out to slay some poon.
I'm about to procure some dick.
Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah. Okay. That was basically.
So, intuitively, we've come up with the same thing.
Yeah, like someone who's on the hunt for probably something sexual, because young people like to have sex, I've been told.
that comment. You didn't have a look at what it means.
Okay, so Hunty, equivalent of friend but said with attitude. What? It doesn't even sound, that's not a noun. Hunty is not a noun.
So like, oh my gosh, she's my Hunty. Is that what they mean?
Yeah, basically like equivalent of friend but said with attitude, like Hunty. So is it meant to be like auntie but
or,
with the
or maybe sound? like honey.
Honey.
Do you watch Queer Eye?
No.
Okay.
I've been told I would really like
you
it.
You would, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan Van Ness is the like queerest of the Queer Eyes and he's a beautiful person. But he's definitely the one who would say, honey, come on, honey, like at least 80,000 times a
day. It's so interesting that you come at it that, like, it's a term that, you know, gay people would use. Like, people who say, honey, like, in that tone is what, like, kind of middle-aged Vietnamese women say in the West.
I don't know if it's generally gay people. I just know it's just a JVN thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so that's not what I expected, and I will never use that. One of the other ones I have on my list is gassed.
Yeah, that's, I mean, don't say that in the 1945 to 1950 period. Like, that would be really inappropriate.
I think it's inappropriate that you're saying it now.
Hey, I was just referring to dates. I don't know what you mean. Like, you know, not like mass genocide of people
so
or anything.
You gaslighting me right now?
Yeah, dog.
Damn.
Yeah.
I would guess that gassed is like... It almost sounds like someone would say it in, like, the 50s. Like, oh, I'm so gassed to go down to the, I don't know.
Interesting. I thought that there is a kind of attack kind of connotation to it. So my thought was that it's when people gang up on that one person in the group that gets teased all the time.
Or if someone gets roofied.
That too. Wow, that's dark.
Probably not what that means.
No.
I don't know. What does it mean?
So it means when someone has had too many compliments and is full of themselves.
Oh.
Yeah, like they're really gassed. Oh, okay. Like they're really, their ego's
inflated.
Being blown up.
Yeah, inflated. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, that makes sense.
That kind of made, I mean, again, still very inappropriate, but, you know.
Did you have goat on your list?
Yeah. Don't you know what that means?
No.
So goat is an acronym that stands for greatest of all time. It's because you don't watch too many sports or anime, but in those circles, like a lot of characters or sports people are referred to as the GOAT.
Okay.
And it's usually capitalized, so like it's used as an acronym. So it just basically means greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Like Serena Williams is the GOAT. Kobe Bryant is the GOAT.
All right.
That's it. That's cheap.
What's wig snatched?
That's on my list too.
What
hey,
the fuck is
what
that?
What the hell is that? Maybe it's when like one girl copies another girl's hairstyle and they're like, you totally wig snatched.
That makes a lot of sense, which is why I think you're wrong.
Yeah, probably.
So what is it?
Let's look this one. Okay, so looking on our list.
We genuinely haven't looked at definitions before we've done this, by the way.
Whoa. So it means exposing someone to reveal the truth. What the
wig
fuck?
Snatched. I'm trying to think of how that...
Oh, it's because, like, you know how when people covering up their bald spot? And
right.
then when you remove
so
their
So it's
wig,
like someone goes, like...
Snatch.
Like, woo, right. Right. Just imagining someone coming up, like, behind Trump.
Ooh. Like, he really needs to get wig snatched.
Oh my god, you used it so well. That sounded so natural.
I'm a wordsmith, baby.
Nice. What else do you have on your list?
So the one that really, the interesting one that I found was bae. I know what it means.
But for anyone else?
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's an acronym.
What?
Yeah.
I just thought it, like, it's a term of affection.
Well, according to my past days on Tumblr.
I was on Tumblr too. I never found that out.
Yeah, but were you on just like the anime section of Tumblr?
Yes.
Yeah, this is all really sad. I can't like... Anyway, bae is like B-A-E, so before anyone else, because you're saying that you're prioritizing that person before anyone else, so that you're like your number one. And it's just morphed into its own word.
Oh, yeah, you're right. A pet name that stands for before anyone else. I use that term all the time, but I had no idea.
It's dumb and it's grammatically clunky.
It is very grammatically clunky.
What else you got?
So, clap back.
I can't believe you don't know what clap back means. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's
that was
like,
some Foley for me just smacking my face, Home Alone style.
It's just like a sassy comeback.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So like...
I learned that from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hey, I watched that show, but I never picked up on that.
It was just in the episode... Oh, I won't give it away in case people haven't watched it.
Okay, all right, cool. Clapback. All right, the other one I had was Thirst Trap, which I'm guessing is like... someone who's horny and they get trapped, because I know thirsty means that you're horny.
I think thirst trap is like, oh, I'm trying to think of like the 90s terminology for this because it definitely existed, but it's like when someone's basically just like a tease.
Oh,
so they're okay. There to entice you, but they're not giving anything away.
So here it says a sexy photograph or flirtatious message posted on social media.
I was sort of close, but it's all got that like,
yeah,
technological bent to it now.
Yeah, it's just like people posting like Instagram posts and stuff.
What's fubbing?
Flubber?
No, it's like phubbing.
Ah, like ph as in like fat.
Yeah, but like fubbing to me, like just the way the word sounds makes it sounds like wanking.
It does. Yeah, like a fat case of salami. Oh, just gross. Rubbing against someone's thigh.
Oh, Jesus.
It's really fubbing.
Oh, my God. I went to the club the other night and this guy was like fubbing on me. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, basically. Gross. Yeah. You should get your nasality checked out, by the way.
That's my Cali girl voice.
she needs her tonsils removed. That's way too close to home. Okay, snubbing someone to pay attention to your phone instead. Oh, what most people do to
oh,
me.
Oh, like, oh, Cleon.
I know, it's so sad.
Oh, so phone snubbing.
Ah. Fubby. Okay.
So does that mean the person that does it is a fubber?
Yeah. Yeah, they're a fubber, yeah.
I wonder if anyone's really using that term.
I've never heard of that
one. It sounds like a lot of crap.
Yeah, I don't think, maybe it's not like an Australian one, but they use it in America. Because I use some terms just because I Twitter so much. Like I say wild and buck wild, but literally everyone I've met here never say it.
Oh, I think it's catching on. Maybe it's just in our group though, because you say it.
Yeah, because I do say it to a toxic degree. And then the other one
you're
that
so
I...
You're so influential. You're such an influencer.
I'm such an influencer. Oh my God. And then the other one is big mood.
Oh yeah. I actually wasn't clear on big mood until you said it more and then I kind of got it contextually.
What do you think it means?
Or like kind of just that I can't articulate it well because I don't understand it well enough to explain to someone else. But I get when you say it that it makes sense.
Yeah.
Can you explain it?
Yeah. So if you post something like, just love hanging my PJs, and then I'm like, big mood, it just means that I can relate and I agree to
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So it's basically a term of like agreement or like hashtag can relate sort of a thing.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm trying to make that one happen because I really like the sound of that.
It sounds cool when you say it, but I've just not been confident enough to use it in case I use it wrong.
Let's do it now.
Yeah. Big
mood. You failed. What's one that you have?
Well, like, okay, I've got like three on my list that have real meanings that they must have different meanings. Receipt or receipts.
I know that and I love that term.
Swerve and cancelled.
I don't know the last two, but I can explain receipts to you.
Okay.
So, say you're talking to someone.
Oh, wait, can I like guess?
Yeah, yeah.
Does it have anything to do with like read receipts when you like use Messenger and then it tells you when somebody's read your message?
No. Oh, potentially. My understanding of receipts is like if someone says, hey, like I always look out for you, and you'd be like, yo, where are them receipts? It's like, where is evidence that you did that? Or like where is the history behind something?
Ah.
Yeah, yeah. So like
would
if someone
would you use it? Like would you like
I've said it, yeah, a couple of times. So like
cool.
Yeah, so it's like when no, that's too job related, fuck. It's basically a term to say like, oh, where's the evidence for that?
Yeah, yeah.
Basically.
No, it makes sense. I'm just trying to think of like how you'd say it. You gave a good example before around like saying, oh, you know, I always look out for you.
Mm, yeah, where are them receipts?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's basic. And it's said with attitude. You can't just say like, hey, where are those receipts? It's like, yo, where are them receipts, man? Like, you know, you got to say it with a bit of, you know, flair.
Bit of sass.
Bit of sass, you know? All right, let's look up, because I think this is the first term on the list that we found. So, number one. Evidence of a person's hypocrisy often pulled from past social media or text conversations. So we were kind of like both right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like calling someone out for, you know, being hypocritical, but you've got the proof because they've actually like, you know, yeah, put it in writing.
Yeah. Because it's in like some sort of messenger text.
And you've been able to scroll endlessly upwards to prove this person wrong.
Yes.
So I would say the people that are using this on a daily basis are probably pretty petty.
Yeah, I mean,
so millennial.
It is very millennial, though. It is interesting because, like, the whole idea of Snapchat and everything. Which, can we talk about Snapchat? Why do you think Snapchat's such a big deal with the millennial culture right
Definitely
now?
Definitely the filters.
Filters? Really? I think
I only said that to anger you.
I hate the filters. Ugh.
It's just the idea of it being transient. And like, yes, the people agree. Have that idea in their head that it's just a moment in time and it disappears, even though it totally doesn't. It's on a server.
Yeah. But I just think that it's part of that whole, and again, not shitting on millennials. Okay, I am shitting
Are
on
millennials.
Are
we millennials?
Us?
I don't know.
No, we're too old and cranky, I reckon.
Mm.
Like, we're kind of in the border because I think we still think that we're relevant. in truth, we're not.
But we're out of our heyday.
We are out of our heyday. Just because, like, I have a little cousin. He's, like, 19 now, and I'm finding myself, like, increasingly not understanding what he's talking about.
Yeah, I find that about my sister too.
Yeah, and I've never felt that ever. Like, I've always felt young, and now I'm like, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, halfway through a conversation with him, like, I realized that I was old.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's such a bad moment.
It was. So I think that Snapchat's really big because it's all part of the fact that millennials, everything is very quick, like you said, transient, and just low attention. It's just low. With every generation, I feel like there's less and less attention for anything, really.
Yeah, I would definitely agree
and,
with that.
And less kind of like care about meaning, almost. And I'm finding that at least through Twitter and some other social media that people are getting meaner. Like, it's getting more okay to just say really blunt, horrible things to people.
Yeah, it's kind of that keyboard warrior mentality.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. Because I guess people are communicating through social media and stuff at much more earlier ages, so they're not getting the nuance of, like, what my words are actually doing to this person, so I'm just going to say it anyways. And also that kind of sense of entitlement that you can say whatever you want.
Yeah, it's gross. And I think just, like, more communication is through screens and through apps. And there is less face-to-face contact, so you do lose that sense of reading the situation socially because you've also just got so much time to formulate your response that you don't get that spontaneity and, you know, I guess that ability to read someone's facial reaction as well.
Yeah, and that lack of spontaneity means that your communication is even more egocentric because you're, like, just constantly editing and working on and thinking about what you're saying, but you're not actually having that natural dialogue with that person.
VCE students of 2019, please feel free to reference this podcast for your English language exam. We got real deep. I had a couple of other terms on my list, and I think I actually know what one of them is now that I've written it down.
Which one?
JOMO.
What is it? Because I know FOMO.
FOMO is fear of missing out.
Yes.
I would say JOMO is joy of missing out because it's the idea of, like, you're actually happy to just stay at home and watch Netflix and not be fucked with talking to people out in public.
So I've had a turn. So as of most of last year, I was extremely extroverted and I couldn't handle being by myself and I just like to go out and hang out with friends. And now I can think of no better delight than just being in front of the TV, watching anime on Netflix.
And not talking to anyone.
And not talking to anyone.
I 100p agree.
Say 100, it's better.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just reading off the list. I was trying to be cool.
I can't, but, like, I don't even know why it's happened. It just automatically, like, one day I was like, oh, I just can't be social.
I think it's just life busyness overload and your just mental space has disappeared.
Yeah, probably. Whoa. Yeah. Whoa, man.
Whoa. Oh, my God. We're so parallel to Bold and the Beautiful. We took such a dark, moody turn.
Yeah, man. Like, maybe the soundtrack for this whole podcast should be some, like, real emotional jazz.
It'll just be the soundtrack to The Sopranos.
I forgot what the soundtrack was. Oh, it was like...
Oh.
Is that it? Is that the start song?
That's, Woke up this morning.
Yeah. Yes.
Got yourself a gun.
Woke up this morning. Got yourself a gun.
Yes. Got yourself a gun. Man, that was a good show. Watch The Sopranos, guys.
Yeah, please.
How disappointing is it that most people watch such garbage TV?
I've noticed that, you know what, talking about attention span, I've noticed that my own attention for complex narratives has declined so much in the last, say, 5 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's correlated to my work being very mentally taxing and busy, or whether it's just because I'm now part of this culture where everything's immediate and transient and I can't be fucked actually, like, putting in the brain power to understand something. So, like, my partner really loves, you know, really interesting, complex, intricate stories, whether it be in a book or a TV show or a movie. And I need what he would call needless exposition to explain who everyone is, where they are, and why things are happening. Because if a story, which, you know, typically happens with very good quality stories, if something like starts in the middle and you kind of have to figure out what's happening, I'd lose interest because it's just too hard for me.
Yeah, so I used to be one of those people who watched all the HBO AMC shows.
Mm.
And even though I am watching some dramas here and there, I have to admit I've been watching way less of them. Like, my best TV of last year is so scattered, but usually it would be like all of those prestige dramas and stuff. I do find that right now I'm watching more like niche weird shows, mm-hmm. that can breathe a little bit but aren't too deep, and like you say, don't have too many characters. And I think it's because, I mean, we do very similar, not now similar jobs, but I think we probably have equally intensive jobs in certain aspects.
Yeah.
And I do find, like, coming home and thinking about watching something like Boardwalk Empire or, you know, Breaking Bad or something would be so exhausting.
Yeah, it's just tiring.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it also, it's like a muscle though. Like, yeah. If we started doing that more, if I start, you know, reading more,
yeah.
It's just that sort of little hill that you get over to start with, and then it becomes a lot easier, and then you start enjoying it.
Yeah, like, because I recently made a friend who's been, like, recommending TV shows to me, and that actually helps.
Mm.
Like, going like, oh, I can talk to this person about TV, that's motivating me a little bit more.
We're so different. I'm so contrary. As soon as someone tells me to watch a show, I'm never going to watch
it. I'm like that too. See, the thing is, no, I'm like that too, but I think when I really understand a person, or I think the person is putting effort to understand me, I respect their opinion more. Aww. Which is really egocentric of me.
No, that's, you're very sweet. That's really nice.
But like, if most people recommend a show to me, in my head, I'm just like, yeah, I'm never going to watch that. Like, I know that I don't care for that.
Yeah.
But I think when someone actually, okay, it is very egocentric, because I think this particular person, like, watched some of the really weird shows that I talk about,
mm.
and then also made an effort to understand me. And so that made me like, okay, so then this person's recommendations would probably be suited for me, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to just collect better friends, I guess.
You do.
Damn.
You do need better friends. Hey, you still haven't watched Catastrophe. You would love it.
Yeah, this is an awkward real life example.
It's because you think you're better than me, huh?
Cleon lent me a DVD of a show like a year ago.
Literally.
It's somewhere in my house and I've never watched it.
The funny thing is,
he recommended it to me, so I'm never going to watch it.
I know. I should, yeah. I don't know how I can, because I really wanted to watch it, but I can't think of a way to devise it. But it's okay, because it's on ABC iView now, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
What's the next term? Do you have any other terms you want to talk about?
I've got finna on my list, spelled F-I-N-N-A. Finna, I would say, is like, if I had to guess, I actually can't guess.
For me, the first thought that came up with for me is like, I'm finna with that. Like, I'm finished.
Well, that's actually what I was thinking too, but then I was just like, no, it makes too much sense. So it cannot be that. Fucking right. Millennials.
Let's look this one up. Finna. And I think that would be towards the bottom, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Just do a control find. Ah, it just means going to. Like, I finna crack some cold ones open.
You're so cool.
I am really cool. I crack open some cold ones with the boys.
Is it like a morphing of, like, Ima?
It's more like a morphing of going to. Going to, but gonna, finna. I don't know where the comes from.
Yeah. Sneaky.
It sounds very, like, Celtic.
Does it?
Yeah. Like, thinner, like kind of like or Irish somehow.
Oh no!
I finna make some haggis. Wait, that's Scottish shit.
I finna make a mango smoothie.
Yes. How much does that work? It is Irish.
We've decided.
Yeah. So one term that really confuzzled me was GMT, because that already has a meaning.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Yeah. Not General Mean Time. What do you think that means?
GMT. Gin tonic.
I'm going to call gin and tonics gin tonics now.
I know. So dumb. Don't confuse your name. Don't confuse your nasal sounds. GMT, gonna mash Transformers.
Gonna mash Transformers.
Gonna meet to...
Got my Toblerone.
Oh, damn.
I actually have a Toblerone in the fridge with my name on it.
Does it actually? Is your name Toblerone? Because all that's written on Toblerones is the word Toblerone.
This one has my name on it.
Actually?
Leon. Yeah, I got it for Christmas.
Aww.
Yeah.
So people really benefit from having longer names.
Yes.
More chocolate.
Yes. Yeah, and that was really cool. I think you can get it custom made at Maya. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so let's look at what this one means. Oh, getting me tight / getting upset.
So as in like you're making me uptight?
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Well, then this also implies that tight, just the word tight means getting upset.
Tight has so many different meanings contextually.
Yeah, like there's tight as in you're being a tight ass, so mm-hmm. like you're kind of being either unfair or stingy with money.
Or like tight, it's going to be
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like my wedding's going to be good, so it's going to be tighten ups.
Yeah. Going to have some tighten ups.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tighten ups. Yeah, I don't have anything else on my list that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Have we become more educated?
Yeah, we are.
Are we cooler?
Yeah, I feel super cool.
Yeah,
like,
me
I'm
too.
I'm just gonna be like, yo, JOMO. Wait, we didn't look up what JOMO was.
Yeah, it
just,
is. I think it is Joy of Missing Out.
Oh, yeah, it is Joy of Missing Out.
I'm so smart.
Oh, you are so smart. Oh, what does trill mean? Because apart from...
I don't know.
Trill. Okay, let's read this one. Trill is true and real.
That's dumb.
Because it doesn't even have the same vowel as real.
Trill.
They should have said trill.
Trill.
Trowel.
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 Oh my God.
That's stupid.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations to give the listeners?
Recommendations for words they shouldn't use. Don't use trill because you'll be an idiot. I recommend the word yeet at parties because apparently that makes parties really go off and get lit and...
I legitimately have a phrase recommendation. It's a phrase that I really loved using last year, and it's chef's kiss.
I've never heard you say that.
What? I say it all the time.
Is it like mwah?
Yeah, like mwah, chef's kiss. And I just imagine a cartoonishly Italian chef saying it with like a moustache and everything.
Holding a bowl of spaghetti.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mamma mia.
Mamma mia, chef's kiss. Mwah. Love it.
Do you have any kinds of recommendations outside of linguistic ones?
Yeah, I do have some show recommendations. I really recommend people check out the show The Orville. Whether you like sci-fi or not, I think it's just a really funny, enjoyable show. It's kind of like a spoof of Star Trek, but you don't need to know anything about Star Trek because I've never watched Star Trek, but I still really enjoy it.
And it's on SBS On Demand?
Yes, yes. And I also want to recommend an anime called Lupin the Third. It's really, really good. It's available on Crunchyroll. And even though it's been going on for 50 years, you can watch the latest seasons without any of that prior knowledge. Because it's like one of those things that, like Poirot or whatever, where it's just a group of characters who do the same thing.
And shout out to Cleon's other podcast about Lupin.
Oh, yeah.
I listened to it. And it was really good, even though I've never seen the anime. Is it an anime? Yeah,
it is an anime.
I've never seen it or read it, and I really enjoyed listening to their podcast. So that's a little plug for you.
Oh, thank you. I actually just completely forgot that I do a podcast. Oh shit! I hope Ben doesn't listen to this. He's gonna be so mad at me.
It's okay. It's because your brain is now filled with cool person terms. You can forget all your old friends. They're dead to you now.
I threw away the weeb that lived inside me.
Oh, all right. time to wrap this up, I think.
Yes.
We'll be coming to you again with some other very unpredictable topic that we think of at some point.
Can we torture each other? I can force you to watch a really bad anime and you can force me to watch whatever garbage you watch.
Okay, but let's make it like a limit of...
half an hour?
Okay.
In terms of time? Because I think a whole season, like, we're not going to have time.
And it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I think we've got to make it achievable.
Yes.
Make it a smart...
like pilot goal. Length.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
let's do that.
Does it need to be a pilot or do you want to do a bit of a start in the middle?
Anything. Anything. As long as it's like 30 minutes to an hour.
All right, let's do it. I will nominate Sex and the City. It's so bad, especially in season one.
Ironically, I've listened to a podcast where two New Zealand comedians watch Sex and the City 52 times in a row and it's about their slow mental breakdown. So I have like the most tertiary knowledge.
But that is just the movie that comes after the six or seven seasons. Though.
Yes.
Six seasons? I don't remember. I nominate you to watch maybe like two episodes because I think they're 20 minutes each.
Okay. I will think of an anime. Yeah, I don't have one now, but I will think of an anime. I would be really curious just to get your thoughts on anime that isn't clouded by people telling you to watch anime, basically.
Look, it's definitely, anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I have a prejudice against anime because I've watched some and found it really boring. And then I've decided the whole genre is garbage.
Yeah, and that's what I feel about everything that I don't watch because I'm better than everyone else.
Oh no, the self-hating egomaniac Cleon.
Someone, I think there were a group of people at work who were talking about like, oh, you're so lucky that you don't have to obsess over what you have to wear or whatever, and I'm like, yeah, except the crippling narcissism that controls my life. We literally don't know when we'll podcast again because
it's very mysterious. That's just the nature of the beast.
That's just on label for our podcast. But anytime from a month to 6 months, guys.
Who knows? We'll see you again.
Bye. Bye, Felicia.
Bye, Felicia.